This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
John Calipari, introductory presser yesterday, head coach at Arkansas. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. By the way, Calipari did not get the biggest ovation yesterday at that presser. The Tyson chicken guy, they go to him, they went nuts, and they played Zach Brown Band Chicken Fried, which was actually great.
Cold beer on a Friday night.
Great time.
A pair of jeans that fits just right.
Turn the radio.
Well, yeah, you're going to, you know what got Coach Cal there.
Chicken.
So you're gonna cheer for the source. Follow the money.
We're talking about one of the biggest names in coaching, in sports, goes to Arkansas, and the chicken guy gets the biggest ovation.
Because he got him there.
Yeah. I know he did.
Well, I mean, Coach Cal talked to John Tyson, and he talked to his pastor. So, I mean, when you talk
okay,
to
we got to talk about that part. Yeah. He brought a pastor with him on vacation.
Before he made the decision, that's who he consulted. He talked to John Tyson. He talked to his pastor.
Okay, that's okay.
Gotta get the blessing from the Lord.
Who can turn down the Lord and the God is offering up free chicken nuggets?
It's funny that the Lord says to go to a place that's going to pay you a lot. You know? It's funny how that works.
That's not what the pastor said per Calipari. So think about this for a second. You're so rich, because that's all about money, of course, that you have the ability to bring whoever it is that your religion is, that leads your religion in your community, with you on vacation. And the guy, do we have this? Okay, so we have this. Let's listen to John Calipari giving his pastor credit for why he's going to Arkansas.
I'll tell you what happened to me. We were out west, and we had a priest with us, a Catholic priest. He gave Mass one morning in his room. And I said to him, Father, I got to decide what I'm going to do here. One is Arkansas, the other is Kentucky. And he told me, go for an hour walk and have in your mind you're the Arkansas coach. And then on the way back, that you're the Kentucky coach. And tell me, you'll see what moves your heart and what you want to do. And I did that. And I'll be honest, when I thought about coming here and building this program and making it something special, it got me excited.
All right. I'm being corrected in my ear by Nuno. He's not happy with me.
What's
so
up?
Let me just correct. He did not bring a pastor on vacation.
Yeah, you're making it sound like they booked a family vacation and Pastor Frank came with him.
He's on retainer.
Yes.
You're saying it's a random pastor in Arizona?
He was at the Final Four. There's... I don't know, because there's a lot of schools and things of that nature, which, you know, so there happened to be a pastor there, a priest there, a Catholic priest.
Okay.
And then he had this conversation with him, and doing Mass, and he had this conversation with him about, like, his decision.
All right, I stand corrected. I thought he brought his guy with him. All right, my bad.
I could see Cal having a priest, though. That does trouble.
I could absolutely see that, too. Yeah,
that's Italian Catholic guy, I could see it.
All right, so the pastor tells him,
in
go
the
for
heart
it.
Of the Bible Belt, too? Coach Cal knows what he's doing.
That's right.
He knows that place.
Yeah, do some more research on that.
He knows that place.
No, make sure that you're right about this place.
He's a man of faith.
The Lord guided me right to Arkansas. You know it.
Let's go.
So he talks to the pastor, however you want to do it. Walk one way as one coach and the other way as the other coach, and he becomes the Arkansas head coach. All right. Good for him, I guess, in that scenario. He also discussed how it was difficult to leave Kentucky.
I mean, we'd been there 15 years, folks. 15 years. And great times, great achievements. 40 players to the NBA, 30 kids graduated. But Kentucky's the bluest of blue. There's only a few schools like that, and I hate to tell you, Arkansas is one of them. It is. But I can tell you, we loved our time there. We gave every ounce of everything we had to that job that stayed in that school. So I walk away sad, but knowing no regrets. We left nothing on the table. There's not a whole lot more we could have tried to do.
Yeah, that's just not true. You're going to tell me that Arkansas is the bluest of blue bloods like Kentucky?
Well, he can't say the job that he's taking is a lesser job than the one that he had.
He's pandering to his new fan base, his new audience.
Pandering to the base. There we go.
Okay, so there was another part
of... But is he not? You know, he has to make them feel like they were on the same level as Kentucky, yeah. And that he had a difficult time choosing because of that.
Well, that's what they aspire to. And I guess if you're an Arkansas fan, have the association to players that are at the pinnacle of the sport in the NBA, like Cal had with Kentucky. Think about all the Kentucky guys that Cal produced. Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Jamal Murray, Tyrese Maxey, De'Aaron Fox. To have the association with those guys at your program would mean everything for a school like Arkansas, who doesn't have the profile like Kentucky. So they're excited. They're fired up that they think Coach Cal views them through that lens. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, they should be. This is an outstanding get for Arkansas. Conversely, when you think about it from Kentucky's standpoint, who the hell are you going to get as your head coach that's going to have a profile like Coach Cal?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Maybe not the profile like Coach Cal, but yesterday the internet was abuzz because there were reports that Scott Drew, head coach of Baylor, we were in private plane tracking season, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So people were trying to track a private plane from Waco to Lexington and that maybe he was there. Obviously, he gets wind of this and he puts out a tweet that he was having lunch at a Mexican restaurant in Waco with a friend of his. Now, the internet went nuts on this, too, for two reasons. One, he was eating chips and salsa with a white shirt. And people were like, what kind of psycho is this that you would eat chips and salsa with? I'm not kidding. The internet went nuts on that, that he's eating chips and salsa with a white shirt because of how much you spilled the salsa. Let's start there. That is an interesting point. If you're going for Mexican chips and salsa, you probably shouldn't have a white shirt, no?
It's not that hard to keep the salsa on the chip and have it arrive safely in your mouth.
Yeah, what are you throwing the salsa at yourself?
I think it's difficult. What's the food that you spill the most? It's either like a tomato sauce or a salsa, don't you think? That would get on your
shirt?
How
do you eat food, Evan? Are you okay?
You don't ever get stuff on your shirts?
I mean, I'm not like in restaurants like actively worried about my clothes because I'm going to spill stuff on it.
I mean, the internet was a buzz on that. And the other thing the internet was a buzz at, and I didn't see this, but Nuno was telling me. So go ahead, Nuno. This Family Feud drama with Scott Drew. No joke. Explain this, Nuno.
So I saw this thread where I guess in the right corner you see that there's a Family Feud is on the TV.
This is of the Scott Drew restaurant thing.
And then someone went and was like, well, if you look at the episode and what's going on, it's an episode from 2020. Although the TV guide in Waco says the episode is from 2022. So this is a fake picture that they're just trying to throw people off. You know, he's trying to throw people off and thinking that he's still in Waco, but he's actually on his way to Kentucky.
So here's why this is important. People are speculating that he's lying about being at lunch in Waco, Texas, and that he's actually in Lexington. And this is why Chris Canty says, why would you want the Kentucky job based on this kind? Look at the scrutiny of this with this guy.
It makes no sense. I don't get that. I understand the interest in Kentucky men's basketball, but this is just ridiculous. I mean, I don't understand it. Why does this guy have to defend himself? If he says he's at lunch, he's at lunch. Whenever it happens is when it happens. Mitch Barnhart, the AD, has kind of alluded to the fact that this is not going to be a long, drawn-out process.
Right.
They can't afford it to be with how recruiting works these days. So I don't understand why people are – why the internet is ablaze because of the Scott Drew of it all. Like, if he's going to be your next head coach, you're going to find out in the coming days, not weeks or months. It's going to be quick. I don't think this is going to take long.
Because they don't want no's. That's really what it is, right? It's like they think they're the hottest program around, and they think if there are reports that this guy should be on a private plane to go meet with Kentucky, the fact that he's putting out there that he's at lunch in Waco, to them, feels like they're getting dissed. They're getting turned down.
Exactly.
Which, as you said, means absolutely nothing. Because, by the way, it's 2024. You could be at lunch in Waco and still take a job in Lexington, Kentucky.
No doubt.
It's not like you can't communicate in that spot.
Or get somewhere quickly with a private plane, if you need to, obviously. But it is interesting the way Kentucky fans are seemingly receiving this, because you, at least most of them, wanted to move on from Coach Cal.
Mm-hmm.
You thought that the message was stale, that the success was not where it needed to be, so you wanted to move on from him. He is a big personality. He makes Kentucky kind of like the Hollywood of college basketball because of all the star power he brings. What's going to happen when the new coach comes in and it might not be the same? It might not look the same.
Oh, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to look the same, and it's not going to have the same type of flair. You're not going to have the kind of guys that Coach Cal had. Like the guys that I just outlined of Kentucky basketball, the Jamal Murrays, ADs and all, those aren't Kentucky guys. Those are Coach Cal guys. They just are. And he's taking that with him to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you post-Coach Cal if you're Kentucky? Like, Scott Drew is a fine coach. He knows how to build a program. He demonstrated that at Baylor. but it might not look like having the kind of talent that Coach Cal was able to bring in, even though you say that Coach Cal underachieved based on the players that he had.
Can we explain that further? So I think people need to understand what CeCe's clear in what he's saying, but let's even do it more literally. Let's say there's a one-day basketball camp that Devin Booker and Anthony Davis are combining to throw. You're saying that camp now takes place in Arkansas and not Kentucky.
Yes. One of the things that made Kentucky basketball special when Coach Cal was there was that all of those guys in the offseason went there to play pickup games. Mm-hmm. They all flooded the program. Like, Worldwide West was there. Everybody was there. It was like a who's who of the NBA Summer League. Like, that's what they did. Like, they went and played and you know, worked on their games, all of that type, at Kentucky.
And now?
That's no longer going to happen at Kentucky, even though they were Kentucky guys. So that's the thing. It's not Kentucky guys. They're Coach Cal guys. So even though those players went to Kentucky, their loyalties lie with Coach Cal. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's the one that prepared them for the next level to be stars in the NBA, not necessarily trying to win championships in college. And all of those dudes love Coach Cal for that. They absolutely do. So that's the thing. If you're Kentucky, you wanted to win championships, it might look a little different. You're not going to get as many one-and-done type of players that you did in the past. Can you be cool with winning championships and not necessarily having those guys be stars once they get to the next level, if they get to the next level?
And are you going to want to run the new guy out of town if the championship banners aren't hung in year one or year two? How long of a runway are you going to give him to be able to build a program?
That's the other thing, Smalls, that we don't talk about enough. I mean, Scott Drew is a fine coach. He was there at Baylor 21 years. They made the tournament 16 years. Only five times did he advance past the first weekend of the tournament. Coach Cal did it eight. So I'm just simply saying, I get that Scott Drew won a national championship more recent. He won one in the 2020s. But I mean, Scott Drew guys from Baylor, what are you talking about? Jeremy Sohan and Davion Mitchell? Those are the guys in the NBA? It's a little bit different when you're talking about Jamal Murray, Anthony Davis, De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker, so on and so forth, Tyrese Maxey, so on and so forth. You're going to see Coach Cal guys playing well into April, some into June in the NBA playoffs. You're not really going to see a whole lot of Scott Drew guys playing that time of year.
Yep.
The other interesting part of this from Arkansas is, well, they've been in the Elite Eight twice over the last 3 years with Eric Musselman. John Calipari hasn't been getting to the Elite Eight. That's the other interesting part of it. Your brand awareness, through the roof. Results outside of guys playing pickup basketball, which the coolness factor of Arkansas, insane. You could already play out Drake doing raps with Razorback in a song for John Calipari. Like, I've already played those raps out in my head, which means he should probably not use them if I can think of them. But the coolness factor.
So hold on. So Arkansas basketball is going to do a pickup game, a practice at Drake's house?
I think
in Toronto?
So. Yeah, the coolness factor.
That's going to happen.
He does have the court in his house.
That's going to happen?
Yeah, the coolness factor,
I mean,
through
Kentucky
the roof.
Did it. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you end up in the Final Four? I don't know. That's why this is such an interesting question as to who benefits the most. And is everyone going to win out of this? Because we've all said win, win, win with this. Calipari wins, Kentucky wins, Arkansas wins.
Did we say Kentucky wins?
Well, in their eyes,
I
they do.
I don't know that I said that.
In their eyes, they do. They didn't want him there anymore.
I don't know that I said that.
I think they thought that they would be winning if they were able to move on from Coach Cal, not have to pay him the over $30 million buyout, and they got their big-name guy. But I think that Kentucky fans just assumed that Billy Donovan would be begging for the job, or that all of these other people that they might have assumed, big-name guys, would be begging for the job. And
so far, no.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
so far,
happen.
They're eating salt chips and salsa with a white shirt in Waco, Texas, watching Family Feud. All right, Arkansas got the job done and bringing in John Calipari, just like Granger, for the ones who get it done, CeCe.
Yes, for the ones who get it done, like John Tyson and Jerry Jones and the Walton family bringing Cal to Fayetteville. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, wow. Jovante coming back with a little Loonies. I got five on it. One of the greatest songs ever.
Is that what Jerry Jones told Arkansas? I got five on it.
How would you say it like Jerry?
I got five on it.
Jerry Jones rapping I Got Five on It is the best hypothetical rap song of all time.
Hey, Cal, I got five on it.
I know a little chicken.
5 million.
Oh, man.
Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. By the way, we had the most random, weird conversation in a healthy way in the break about if Pat Costello, who is not Jewish, decided to convert and get bar mitzvahed, would we give him gifts at 29 years old? Would you give somebody a gift for a religion conversion ceremony at 29 years old?
Sure, I would support his.
Yeah, we don't
journey.
Care about that part of it. It's the gift this late in life for that. When normally, like, what age is the communion? 16?
Second grade.
Oh, I'm thinking of something else then. What am I
Confirmation.
Thinking?
Confirmation.
Confirmation's thank eighth you. Grade. Okay. Bar mitzvah is seventh grade. Pat wants to do it now. Looking for any ways to make extra money. Yesterday, we learned that he wants to be a squatter in Arizona.
Yeah.
Today, he's open for religion conversion. Doesn't care about the religion. He's an open-minded, inclusive guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants the gifts.
So you're good with wedding gifts, but not religious conversion?
You get a gift for converting?
He's trying to find any legal, moral, ethical scam to make more money.
For people to give him stuff.
Yes. So guy who won't give you a gift if you get married wants gifts if he has his bar mitzvah. Excuse me.
Okay, yeah. But Pat, who's going to spend the money to throw the party for the bar mitzvah? Because that's part of it, right? You go to the party and people give you gifts. Are you going to put the funds out to throw the party?
No, he's going to find a way. He's going to ask Canty for that.
No, I feel like you should be the one.
Why? Because I'm Jewish. I have to pay for it.
Exactly.
Well, then convert to another religion, Pat. Get some. I don't want you then. I don't want to have to pay for this.
Hold on, Canty. When's the Canty kickback? Whenever things are done.
Everybody should bring a gift, not for a housewarming, but for Pat.
I'll do it on the side.
It's like when someone proposes at a wedding or something. I'll just do it on the side. I'll be like, yeah, by the way, over here.
I don't know.
You guys take him in your religion. I don't want him.
Yeah, Pat, I don't know if you are religious, but we could baptize him at the Candy Kickback.
Oh, we could absolutely baptize him.
I'm down. Nuno, $500.
$500?
Hold on. Does any business company want to sponsor his bar mitzvah?
By the way, that is a bit that's been done. ESPN Milwaukee, shout out to them back in the day for Ryan Braun. It was a Braun mitzvah because he's Jewish and he threw a Braun mitzvah. Now, he wasn't there, I don't believe, but
did
it was a
gifts?
Big.
Oh, what part of the game is that? How can you have a Braun mitzvah and you not be there?
Well, blame him. Maybe he was, and I don't know. There was definitely a Braun mitzvah. Now we are going to look for a sponsor to sponsor
Reason
Pat
71, why not to like Brian Braun.
Correct.
We're going to sponsor a Pat Bar Mitzvah. That is fascinating.
That'd be awesome.
A Pat Mitzvah?
A Pat Mitzvah. All right, at Unsports ESPN, you can check it out. CC's Mock Draft 2.0. In that mock draft, you did not have the Dallas Cowboys selecting a quarterback. Mm-mm. And nobody's going to debate you on that one. But Adam Schefter provided an interesting little nugget on NFL Live on ESPN about the Cowboys and when they may be able to draft a quarterback.
Now, a lot of people say, well, what about Jerry? What are they going to do at quarterback if they lose Dak? That's interesting. And that's why I think the Dallas Cowboys might just be a sleeper team in the quarterback market during the draft. Because at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think at some point in time. Because Dak is going into the last year of the contract, and it might be time to get somebody in there to start grooming him. Just like they found Dak Prescott in round 4, might be time to go find another quarterback in another round to begin to get him ready.
All right, what is higher than we think right now? Let's try to define that in terms of how early do you think the Dallas Cowboys could draft a running back? They pick 56th overall, their second round pick. What did I say?
Running back.
I'm sorry, quarterback, 56th overall. Is that where you think in the second? Could we see them there? God forbid, maybe Dak Prescott has to deal with a first-round quarterback. How high do we think they're going to go here?
I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback high. I mean, listen, they don't have their fourth-round pick this year. That belongs to the San Francisco 49ers by virtue of the Trey Lance trade. And when you listen to Todd Archer and other people that cover the Dallas Cowboys, they seem to think that the Cowboys, if they're going to entertain another quarterback outside of Dak Prescott being under center, Trey Lance is going to get the first nod.
Well, let's listen to Todd Archer, ESPN NFL Nation Dallas Cowboys reporter, with Amber and Ian talking about that same issue.
He's going to get worn out this preseason because they want to see what they have. They don't know yet. He's looked okay in practices as time went on after they acquired him from San Francisco, but they ultimately don't know. So they will not be in the quarterback market here in a couple weeks for the draft, even a backup or a late-round flyer on a guy, just because there's not going to be enough snaps to go around, because obviously you got to get Dak ready for the season, and you want to see what Trey Lance can do.
So Trey Lance is their draft pick, in essence. We're going to see him more than we've seen him in years past, and that's how we're going to look at it with the Cowboys this year? Or you think they're going to go and draft a quarterback, Smalls?
But even though drafting a quarterback is an unknown, so is Trey Lance. And I understand what Todd Archer's saying about divvying up the snaps. There's only so many snaps to go around. But if the Dallas Cowboys truly feel like they're not going to re-sign Dak Prescott, if this is a last dance, a one-and-done type deal, why wouldn't you want to draft a quarterback and then have that be a competition?
Because you don't have the luxury. You're in win-now mode, right? Jerry Jones said he's all in, even though he hasn't made the subsequent moves to success, suggest he's all in. But when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, they don't own their own fourth-round pick. They don't own their own fifth-round pick. They don't own their own sixth-round pick. Now, they have some compensatory picks, but those picks are at the end of the fifth round, the sixth round, and the seventh round. So I think this is a situation where the Dallas Cowboys, they can't reach for a quarterback because they have other needs on this team that they have to fill. They got to figure out what they're doing in their front seven. They got a lot of losses that they got to replace. They got to retool the interior of their offensive line. They got to figure out what's going on right there. Tyron Smith left as a left tackle. Is Tyler Smith going to kick out? Are they going to draft somebody to be an interior offensive lineman to replace him at guard? There are a lot of questions. Who's the running back that they're going to lean on, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, are we going to believe that it's Rico Dowdell and Deuce Vaughn and those guys? They have so many other needs that I don't know that they can afford to go after a quarterback right now, especially knowing that you got Dak Prescott and you made the move and giving up a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance.
So with all of that said, they have the 24th pick in the draft. They have second-round pick. You're saying absolutely not. They can't waste it on quarterback because they have too many needs because they did nothing this offseason. I will ask you both the question that Nuno asked me the other day. Give him credit on this. Have the Dallas Cowboys had the worst offseason of any team in the NFL?
Based on what they described it to be, all in, I'd say yes.
CeCe?
No, the Denver Broncos, they ate $85 million of dead money for Russell Wilson.
But they're not in win-now mode.
No, they're not in win-now mode, but I don't think they're going to win at all in 2024. Like that's the difference. Like, at least I can say that the Dallas Cowboys have a chance at winning their division. I mean, do the Denver Broncos have a chance at finishing any better than third in the AFC West?
Third?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're finishing in last place.
But that's my point. Yeah.
I don't even think you can make the leap to put them in third.
Yeah, they're not going to be
unless you think your guy Antonio Pierce is going to fall apart.
I don't.
I know you don't.
I'm just saying the remote possibility, right? Because they have a questionable quarterback situation. But even they have Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Like, what the hell do the Denver Broncos have? Am I supposed to believe in Jared Stidham? Am I rolling with that? They traded away Jerry Jeudy. What are they doing on that team? They cut Justin Simmons. What are they doing?
They're in win-later mode, I think, is what they're in. Damian Woody, we'll have him weigh in on that conversation. He'll join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides.
See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I'm just going to say it. Damian Woody has reached a new level of coolness. Look at this shirt. I want to be like you when I grow up.
Bro, I'm trying to, man, I'm trying to be in your presence. What you talking about?
Damian
you
Woody.
You was out in like West Palm chilling and all that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That like, now you're like, well, let me go visit these peasants again up here in New York.
Oh, God, here we go.
Big fella, not only does he have a gate on his driveway.
I do not have
house,
a gate on the driveway.
There's a gate on the street to get on the street
double
to
gate.
His house.
Okay. Okay.
But that's there's a gate to get on the street to get to his house. Then there's a gate at his driveway.
And that's not
you
like your house.
You got to have two codes. I live in an apartment.
No, I mean your other house.
I live in a
apartment. No, I mean your other house.
No gates. It feels like prison to me. I don't do gates. I don't do gates.
Damian, let's have you weigh in on something before we get into NFL stuff. Smalls is furious about something with her coffee situation. Let's have Damian Woody weigh in on this. Go ahead, Smalls.
So, Dan, you know Laura, our lovely makeup artist, one of our very talented ladies that works back there. I was telling her about this coffee that I got. It's the best coffee I've ever had. And it's an iced coffee, so I thought maybe it would hold overnight. So I go yesterday to get one for me and one for her to have for today. I looked it up online. They close at 6 p.m. I arrive at 5:30 p.m. There is not a soul in this place other than me and the barista. I order the coffees. This guy tells me, we stopped making that coffee a half hour before we close so that we can close up. I'm like, if you're not going to serve me the product, why are you open? Just close up shop.
Fair or unfair by the shop?
That's unfair. If you're open... Damn it, I want my order.
Thank you.
Like, for real, for real. Like, you can't, how you going to, like, if I'm walking up into a restaurant and I'm ordering a meal, well, we chilling, we cleaning the grill and everything.
Yeah.
So we can't, what? No, you need to go ahead and get back on that grill and serve me what I'm wanting. Like,
thank you.
Smalls, that's ridiculous.
I thought so too. And this is a place that only serves coffee and then they have like a croissant or a lemon loaf. It's not as if they have a turnover for dinner or something where I could maybe even understand it.
Right.
You only serve coffee.
Yeah, that's. Y'all got one job. Yeah. Y'all got one job. And if you open, I expect you to do that job. Is this first world problems, though?
Big time.
Okay.
Big time first world problems.
We just played a couple of pieces of sound about the Dallas Cowboys and the idea of them potentially drafting a quarterback earlier than we all would expect. Do you think that's a possibility?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I just think that if you look at the kind of like the timeline of what's going on with Dallas right now, it's very fascinating. Because, you know, we all talked about the comments by Jerry Jones about going all in and all those type of things. Obviously, after what happened last in the postseason last year with Green Bay, and the number one domino that had to fall was with Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna go all in, you got to take care of his contract first. That'll free up cap space, and then you could make free agent moves, get CeeDee Lamb done, possibly Michael Parsons. None of that's happening. So is this a scenario where it could literally go to like? Kirk Cousins, Joe Flacco, where he's like, okay, you got to have another season like last season. You're betting on yourself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think there's nothing going on the Dak front as far as the contract. And if that's the case, it would be malpractice for the Dallas Cowboys not to address the quarterback situation in the draft.
Okay,
you have to.
Yeah, I mean, there is no mechanism for the Cowboys to keep Dak Prescott.
Right, they can't franchise
him. So if he wants to leave,
he can leave.
He can bounce.
Right.
So you have to guard against that. But I thought that's what the Trey Lance trade was all about, right? Trading for Trey Lance, a fourth-round pick. In the instance that Dak Prescott does leave, Trey Lance could be your bridge to whatever's next. You're saying that the Cowboys have to be proactive about finding whatever's next early on in this year's draft.
Well, first of all, now, for anybody who couldn't see my face, I'm just like, come on, bro. Like, is Trey Lance really in this mix right now? Is that what we're thinking? I know they traded. You said they traded
a fourth-round pick.
They traded a fourth-round pick.
They don't have their fourth-round pick.
I still think they have to be proactive.
Okay.
I think they have to be proactive in the draft. You know, I don't see them going in the first round. But I think I could see them going in the like, early to mid-rounds to go get a quarterback to kind of hedge himself if Dak Prescott were to leave in free agency.
If you're Dak Prescott, and as the situation you just outlined, despite having a lot of individual success, not so much postseason team success, if he is forced to bet on himself again, even though being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys is different than any other situation you're going to have, and there's a lot of talent there, do you think he could maybe want to move on?
I think there's a possibility. I mean, listen, we know that the, you know, everything that comes with the Dallas Cowboys and being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys is unlike any other franchise, or you could basically say like any other position in sports. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just unique unto itself. But I listen, we've heard the conversations from, you know, certain family members of teammates, you know, this offseason, you know, kind of saying disparaging things about Dak Prescott. What if Dak Prescott doesn't want to deal with that stuff anymore? Mm-hmm. What if he wants to, you know, say, you know, what if he says, you know what, it's run my course here. Maybe I need to, you know, test the water somewhere else or just see what free agency, you know, truly brings. I can see that happening. There's no question about it.
Talk with Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst. You'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern time. Is there a question surrounding the draft right now that intrigues you more than anything else?
I'm going to tell you the situation that really intrigues me.
Okay.
It's the Minnesota Vikings.
All right.
And the reason I say that, I think most people would say that Minnesota is going to trade up for a quarterback, obviously acquiring that second first-round pick. I don't know if people understand, Minnesota is a very attractive situation if you're a young quarterback. Think about this. They have a pretty good offensive line. They have T.J. Hockenson at tight end. They got two outstanding wide receivers. Mm-hmm. They signed Aaron Jones in free agency. And then on top of that, you got Kevin O'Connell, who's the head coach slash play caller. How many situations are better for a rookie quarterback to walk into? Like right off the bat. That is a very attractive situation. I'm just curious to see, like, I know everyone talks about, you know, obviously most people presume Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick for the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever Minnesota drafts a quarterback, who's going to have the more successful career? And they're in the same division.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so fascinating to me.
Yeah, and I was just about to ask you, because we were speculating earlier this week about which team is poised for a Texan-style turnaround, right? You get the quarterback right, and then all of a sudden your team goes from a cellar dweller to a division winner and potentially winning a playoff game. So of the six teams that I've kind of penciled in that I have to prioritize quarterback in the first round, the Bears, the Broncos, Commanders, Patriots, Vikings, Raiders, who would you think is poised for a Texan-style turnaround, get the quarterback, all of a sudden win the division?
Man, that is – it's hard. You know, that NFC North is a dog.
Yeah, it is.
It's all of a sudden turned into a dog. Like, Detroit is good. Green Bay is going to be a monster.
Love them.
Like I said, Minnesota could easily be a team that could flip it. In Chicago, we've seen the moves that they made. I'll tell you what. Don't sleep on the Commanders. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the Commanders, obviously we know how the whole turnstile as far as the NFC East goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, teams.
Yeah, consecutive division winners doesn't really happen a lot.
And listen, I think the Commanders have had a pretty good offseason. I really do. With all the talent that he brought in via free agency.
Especially on the defensive side. Dan Quinn guys.
That's right. We always talk about how you want to implement your culture, your style. You bring in people where you were prior, and they've done that. That's another team that has weapons, too.
Yes, sir.
They have weapons. Like, the Commanders have weapons. Obviously, I think they need to continue to address the offensive line. But they got guys that whoever's the quarterback will be able to throw the ball to. So the Commanders could be a team that I know they've been ridiculed for so long. But they could be a team that could hit the ground running as well with the rookie quarterback.
They got 5 picks in the top 101.
You can do a lot of damage with that type of ammunition.
So Caleb Williams to Chicago feels like it's in Sharpie. We know the Commanders are either going to take Drake May or Jaden Daniels. The Patriots at 3 is so interesting to me because they obviously need a quarterback. But do they trade out of that spot, get more capital, address other issues on the team, and then come back and get a quarterback later? You could get a lot for that number 3 pick.
Yeah,
what would you do?
They might be the most fascinating. I've been saying for the longest, I think they need to trade out. I do. I think they need the trade. They have so many holes on their team. They need playmakers. They need guys that can go out and make, and guys who can go out and create explosive plays. They don't have those type of guys on their roster. And I just feel like if they draft a quarterback now, would they be setting them up for success?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because of the lack of playmakers that they don't have on their roster. So mm-hmm. I think, me personally, I would trade out. But we'll see what the Patriots do.
Damian Woody will be on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Oh, ESPN2, excuse me, today with the Masters on ESPN, delayed until around 9 or so, it seems like, Eastern Time. Always great with us. Thank you, Damian. Yep. We appreciate it. All right. Speaking of the Masters, partner of the PGA Tour, that is True Green. I love a beautiful lawn. Hate doing lawn care. So what do you do? That's why you use True Green. They're the official lawn treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens, to say the least. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you got to do is water your lawn, mow your lawn, and they're going to take care of the rest. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 20th, you get one application free. Visit TrueGreen.com for the best lawn at the best price guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Each and every day at this time, our producer, Pat Costello, gives us items around sports, news, entertainment, and his life that he's over. What do you have for us, Pat?
So I mentioned hot dogs in that open that we just played, and I don't remember who brought it up today, but Chicago dogs sound horrifying.
What?
Like, these are the most disgusting sounding hot dogs. I thought the Renegade in Pittsburgh was bad, but a Chicago dog is disgusting sounding.
Okay.
Yellow mustard, chopped onions, pickles, I guess, or something, tomato wedges, and then peppers. What are we doing? This is awful. The pictures of this look awful. It doesn't even look appetizing in the slightest. How does anyone eat these and think that it's okay? Also, you can't have ketchup. But you're allowed to have slices of tomato on a hot dog? What are we doing, Chicago? Figure it out.
I am not going to let you
awful,
trash
Michelle.
The Chicago dog. You don't need ketchup on a Chicago dog.
It's yeah, because you have a half a tomato
elite.
On it.
It is the. I think it's the most elite hot dog you can get is a Chicago dog.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's delicious. Do not knock it until you've tried it.
I'm going to knock it. It looks disgusting. I'm going to knock it a lot. That looks horrible. Why would you do this?
Because it's delicious.
It's not. It doesn't look delicious. It looks awful. It looks like baby vomit.
Well, that's sorry, not it. That's not a Chicago dog. The photo that we're showing is not a Chicago dog.
That looks like you're doing too much on a hot dog. I'm with Smalls on this one. I understand it's a delicacy. It's unique to Chicago, but I'm over that. I don't necessarily need to have that. I think it's too much on a hot dog. A hot dog,
what?
Maybe you want to put some sauteed onions, maybe a little bit of relish, some mustard. Some people go the ketchup route. I don't, but I think that's about all that belongs on the hot dog. That's it. I don't think you need to do any more.
What's the deal with this like neon green relish that they're putting? What is this?
Oh, that pickle or the little pepper you throw on there makes it so good.
Uh-oh. Chicago's not going to be happy with you.
That's fine. I hope they're not happy with me. They shouldn't be happy with themselves. This is a terrible invention.
I just got a text from someone at ESPN 1000. No joke. He was trying to ease into this conversation and let it happen. Now he just said Pat's banned from Chicago for life.
Wow.
That's okay.
That happened quickly.
Wow.
That escalated.
And your pizza's stupid.
Not banned from ESPN 1000, banned from Chicago.
I disagree with your pizza take now. I like Chicago deep dish pizza. I think you're crazy.
If you have to eat it with a fork, it's not pizza. Just saying.
It shouldn't be
the
same category.
Well, you're the one that went to a diner that you have to make reservations to. Who are you to look down on me when it comes to what as appropriate labeling of foods.
He's got a point.
Sorry. We didn't have to make reservations. We elected to.
Well, the fact that you couldn't make reservations means it's not a damn diner.
At least you were invited. All right, Pat.
You were in Florida.
You chose to have this big get-together when I was in Florida.
A get-together. It was me and Rob, and we went and got pancakes.
That's a big get-together. What else, Pat? That's a get-together.
Watermelon's the goat. Watermelon's amazing. It's the Tom Brady of fruit. I don't know how
it's not.
It's the Tom Brady of fruit. It's the best fruit. I don't know how anyone could ever hate on watermelon. It's so good, especially if it's like hot out. It's been a little bit hot this week, and I've had some watermelon, and it's just been so lovely. I don't know how anyone could ever say that any fruit is better than watermelon. It's number one.
It's just too messy. That's the thing. It's messy. I mean, getting into the watermelon, cracking the watermelon, cutting it open, cutting the slices, it's messy. That's what separates it from being a goat. It's not snackable.
Are you using a machete? Exactly.
What are you talking about?
How is it messy? It's not messy.
Watermelon is not messy. It trips all over the place.
Carving up a watermelon? It's mostly water. When you crack into that thing, there's juice everywhere. It's
and messy. Melon.
I hope Scott Drew didn't have it with the white shirt in Waco at the big lunch yesterday. Wow. He'll be all over the shirt. Yeah. I would say watermelon is not even a, like, it may not even be a top 10 fruit.
Yeah, I mean,
stop.
Strawberries, cherries, blackberries,
all right, I'm
blueberries.
Looking at, I just did a search.
Bananas.
I did a search on Google for just a list of fruits here. Apple, I would take over watermelon.
You're insane. You're insane. You're insane.
No.
Okay. All right. I'll go back to reading other ones. Bananas, I would take over watermelon.
Yeah, no doubt.
No.
Bananas are great.
Oh, bananas are so
versatile. They're good. They're good fruit.
Banana over watermelon.
Eat it by itself. Banana bread in a smoothie.
Blackberries.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I would.
Over
I would
watermelon? You're crazy.
Again, it's easy. It's snackable. It's easy.
I'm not a big blueberry guy, but most people would take
blueberries.
Blueberries
are top amazing. Three fruit, no doubt. Here's the thing about watermelon. Watermelon flavoring is better than actual watermelon. Mm. Like if you get a watermelon gummy bear or something, that tastes different than an actual watermelon.
That's a good point.
That's not a good point.
That's
a good point.
That's a terrible point.
Yeah, I think it's a good point.
So when the flavor of the fruit tastes better than the actual fruit, that's where you lose me.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens with strawberry. I have to be fair, though. Strawberry flavoring sometimes tastes better than actual strawberries.
You get strawberries out of season, but if you get them suckers right as they are ripening up, I don't know about that. Some fresh strawberries, outstanding.
Delicious. What about, I'd say cherries
nice
over.
Cherries
over watermelon.
Oh, a Rainier cherry?
Yeah.
Best.
I love grapes.
What?
Grapes
Whoa,
are good,
pause.
Too.
A what, Michelle?
Rainier cherry?
What's a Rainier cherry?
It's the ones that are like red and yellow. It's a.
I guess we don't get those here in Connecticut.
Of cherries? No, I'm sure you do. Check out the grocery store. I bet you get them. They're seasonal. Mm. It's like an orange or a blood orange. There's tart cherries. There's Rainier cherries. There's different types of cherries that you could get.
I like Concord grapes too.
Do you?
Oh yeah,
grapes are great. Grapes,
yeah. Do you like purple grapes or green grapes?
I like both. Purple. I would eat both of them.
Purple. I don't mess with the green grapes.
Really?
Why?
I don't know.
What's wrong with green grapes?
What's wrong with green grapes?
I'm racist when it comes to my grapes. I don't know.
Wow.
I need them dark. Darker the berry, sweeter the juice.
All right, Pat, back to you.
Chovante.
Take it away, Pat.
I'm trying.
Masters will now begin at 10:30 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, they push it back again?
Yeah.
The ding got me.
The ding was hilarious.
Baking is terrible. Why do people bake? It's so hard. Baking's so hard. I've tried to bake so many things. I can cook. I can cook a lot of things pretty well. Baking is just miserable. You have to be so specific, and if you miss it by even like the smallest of margins, the thing you're making is going to be dry and awful. It's so difficult. Why do people do it? And how are people good at it? I don't get it.
Why is it so much harder to follow a recipe to bake versus cooking dinner?
Because there's so much more specific. You need to be so precise with baking. Whereas cooking, you can just kind of like do it by feeling. Like some salt is fine or like whatever you like. Baking, you can't do that. If you miss on baking, you're missing by a mile, not an inch.
But why are you missing? If it says a tablespoon of something, why are you just going to eyeball it? Why don't you just put a tablespoon in?
You know, it's hard. It's hard to measure stuff sometimes.
It's hard
I don't
to
know.
Follow instructions.
You,
got it.
You have
telling
the tools
me a lot about yourself, Pat.
To measure it correctly. Right?
Oh, I think it's difficult. I mean, my wife had a baking business for a little bit, and she was unbelievable at it and still is. It's difficult. I don't get the idea of hating on it versus cooking. Like, I think they're both really hard.
Exactly.
No, cooking's super easy. Cooking, you can just throw stuff in a pan, and it's going to turn out probably pretty fine. baking, if you mess up even a little bit by accident, which can happen, you know, you misread something, you accidentally put a tablespoon instead of a teaspoon, all of a sudden your whole thing is messed up.
So you can't follow instructions. We're coming back to that. I'm
sorry. You were in the NFL. You never misread a play. You never once went left instead of right. Come on.
This feels like user error, not a problem with baking. Exactly.
You're telling me you never messed up anything in your life? All right, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that seems like
plenty of things in my life.
I'm just saying.
Well, I mean,
you can't accidentally mess something up, and all of a sudden you don't have muffins. You got cookies.
Bake. You're saying it's hard to bake because you can't follow the instructions.
It's hard to follow sometimes if you mess up by accident. That's my point. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm great. Chicago hot dogs are terrible. This is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.